Hello and welcome to Purple Heart Radio, the voice of the veteran. I'm Tom Ginazzo. I have the honor of speaking today with Congressman Steve Kagan, MD, the Democratic congressman from Wisconsin's 8th District. How are you today, sir?
I'm doing fine. I hope you are, too.
I certainly am, sir. For the benefit of our audience, can you give us a brief introduction about yourself?
Sure. Well, I'm Congressman Steve Kagan. I was born in Appleton, Wisconsin, and went to school through public schools, went off to Madison, Wisconsin, where eventually I got my degree in molecular biology and also my medical degree there. And before going to college, I worked in a dairy bagging sugar and became a teamster to drive the tow motor around. You had to be a union guy and make sure you get the sugar where it belongs. And after receiving my medical degree, I received further training in internal medicine and then allergy, asthma, and immunology, and for 30 years I was practicing medicine, taking care of patients all across Wisconsin, northeast Wisconsin, Green Bay, and Appleton. And after a period of time, you know, my patients had a harder and harder time paying for their prescription drugs. So I had permission from my wife to run for United States Congress, and I won in the fall of 2006. I've been serving in Congress for the past 15 months and working hard to bring about the changes we need.
And I'm certain that Wisconsin's 8th District and the country are happy about that, and we should thank your wife for that. You also worked as a doctor in the VA hospital, true?
Oh, I sure did. I've got over 6 years of experience working not just as a medical student but as a physician in VA hospitals in Madison, Wisconsin, Chicago, Illinois, and Milwaukee, Wisconsin. So I have more experience, I believe, than almost anyone in Congress, be it on the Senate or the congressional side, on the House side, taking care of military veterans who have been literally blown up and try and put them back together again.
Now, Congressman Hagan, you have spearheaded the setup of a national PTSD hotline for the VA using the Combat Wounded Call Center, which is a project of the Purple Heart Service Foundation. Can you tell us about this initiative, please?
Well, indeed. So, in my view, the first person that a veteran from Iraq or Afghanistan should be talking to is somebody who's been there, who's been down that road and walked in your boots and come back home a little bit out of shape, so to speak, and in need of help. My view would be a good idea for veterans to be calling a hotline and be screened by other veterans who have walked the walk and can talk the talk, and then they could be helped by guiding them into the appropriate veterans facility and assistance where necessary. I have felt this way for quite some time, and also my wife has. My wife is a nurse. And when I first got elected, I sent her around my district to talk with all the VSOs and see what they needed. And she called me up and said, honey, you wouldn't believe it, but a lot of guys and girls just never do get their benefits because they're not really calling in. They don't know who to call. There's so many numbers to call in whatever branch they happen to be in. So she had the idea to create a single number across the nation and then have veterans call that one number. And for PTSD, of course, it'd be an 800 number. And for the other benefits, 211. 211 is the United Way organization telephone number that rings locally. It doesn't ring over in India. It rings right in the community in which people are living. So she put together a marriage between the United Way and the National Military Family Association to roll out across the country the 211 program, or 211 as we call it in our family. So in New Hampshire and Wisconsin and other states, if you dial 211, you'll be connected to a person locally at United Way who can connect you with the VSO and the program that you deserve. You've got your benefits. Now it's just a question of getting people in to make sure they get the benefits they've already earned.
Wow. Now, clearly health care for veterans and all citizens, it's a very important issue to you. What are some of the projects you're working on in regards to health care in the 8th District there?
Well, you know, when I was in the VA as a doctor, we did not discriminate against people. If they came in, we gave them the service that they required, whatever was medically necessary. Granted, the VA system has all sorts of different ways of kind of cherry-picking and deciding and ranking 1 through 8 or 9 who's going to get what level of benefit. But from my point of view, if you're a citizen, you ought to be in. If it's in your body, it should be covered. So I put together a piece of legislation called No Discrimination in Health Insurance Act. It's got a name called H.R. 5449. And what this seeks to do is to say, look, if you're a citizen or a legal resident, no insurance company anywhere can say no to you based on a pre-existing medical condition. So it's going to seek to create a marketplace and guarantee universal access to affordable health care. The other thing I put forward in the VA system is a voucher system, wherein if you've got symptoms of, oh, depression or high anxiety or what you might call PTSD, you know, you need help. And when a soldier gets the help that they require, and there is therapy for this, then the family will be stronger, we can prevent divorces, we can save communities, save people's jobs and their whole careers. So I put together a voucher system wherein if you are in need of help, you've served in harm's way, here's your voucher. Go to the closest doctor or treatment facility available, and we got your back covered. As long as they take TRICARE rates, we'll take your back. Now, so far that hasn't gotten through Congress, but it's something I'm hoping we'll get into another bill and make sure that our soldiers get the care that they need closer to home. We do not have enough psychiatrists in the VA system. We don't have enough nurse practitioners specializing in psychiatry to help our soldiers to get the help that they need. The current estimates are somewhere around 300,000 of our Iraq and Afghanistan veterans have suffered from and have symptoms of PTSD or TBI. And these soldiers, both men and women alike, they're brave. They serve with honor, with courage, with incredible skill. We have to be skillful in guaranteeing they get the benefits that they've earned. When a veteran goes off to serve, when a soldier serves in harm's way, they're not serving for themselves, and yet their benefits seem to be locked up to themselves. So if you served in harm's way and you've got a prescription drug benefit, and you've got a drug benefit that gives you a discount at the VA, is there any reason why we can't extend that discount to your wife, to your children? And what about your neighbors? What about your community? If the drug company is making a profit at the VA price, why can't that same price be the price for the whole country? After all, our soldiers didn't fight for themselves. They fought for their family and the entire community in which they live, as well as the entire country. So in my view, we should use the purchasing power of our military veterans and all of our citizens to leverage down prices for everybody. It would save lives and save dollars, put precious nickels and dollars and dimes back into people's pockets.
Wow, that's the first time I've ever heard that. That's very interesting. We're going to get more into this in a second. We are speaking with Congressman Steve Kagan, MD, from the 8th District. He is Wisconsin's Democratic Congressman. We are listening to Purple Heart Radio, the voice of the veteran. And we're back on Purple Heart Radio. I'm Tom Ginazzo. I'm speaking with Congressman Steve Kagan, MD, the Democratic Congressman from Wisconsin's 8th District. Congressman Hagan, do you feel that your 30-plus years of practicing medicine help you to understand some of the issues and challenges you encounter, such as the PTSD hotline?
Absolutely. I mean, I've been through this. Recently, I was in a leadership meeting, and after about 45 minutes of conversation with a number of members and leadership and position also on the Veterans Committee, you know, they felt like they got a lot done. They were about ready to break it up. And I said, well, gentlemen and lady, if you don't mind, I'd like to get something off my chest. Do you really like your jobs? I said, and they said, yeah, we like helping people. I said, well, you've been here 45 minutes. We haven't got a thing done. I got a bill right here. It's a voucher bill that will guarantee PTSD patients who have served in our armed services get the care they need now, not next year. And so I think it does matter who's at the table. If you don't have a doctor sitting at the table, people don't really understand whether the congressmen who've been in the mortuary business or lawyers, accountants. You know, unless you're a doctor or nurse that has served in the VA, you don't really get a feel for what soldiers have been through trying to get the health care that they so very much deserve. So I think it's very important for our World War II remaining veterans, Korean, Vietnam, Iraq, Afghanistan, and others. It's important for the veterans to have a doctor in the house.
Is there any other legislation that you'd like to see move forward or developed in regards to our veterans?
Well, there's the new GI Bill for 2008. We got to get this thing moving and pass it as soon as possible. We hope to be able to vote on it later today. I'm sitting just off the House floor where that discussion is going to take place in a few hours, and I can't imagine why the president wouldn't sign a bill that will extend the benefits for education out so someone could sign up for it 15 years later. And more importantly, we need to extend that to active reservists and National Guardsmen and women as well, because they are serving in harm's way. There's no reason they shouldn't be covered by the new GI Bill. Also, we had talked earlier in our conversation about the PTSD hotline. I'd like to see that thing through as well.
Well, more recently, sir, one of your bills did come to pass, the H.R. 2408. So Wisconsin now has a VA clinic in the 8th District. Tell us what the change was there.
Well, I didn't want to toot my own horn, but, you know, this is something that I met with the Undersecretary of the VA, Mr. Feely, about. I feel very strongly. You know, I'm in a rural district where our veterans are driving a long distance, 2 hours or 2.5, sometimes 3 hours, just to get the care that they need. Some of them get there and find out the visit has been canceled and they've wasted the whole day. So I fought very hard to move up the date at which our veterans would get a new surgical center and an outpatient clinic in Green Bay, something that would otherwise have taken several years to take place. So I fought hard to make sure the funding came a little bit sooner than it would have otherwise, and I worked with the president and also the VA to make that happen. I'm very proud to get that done, and I got to also thank all the VSOs in my district for helping me to make the case to Zablocki down there in Milwaukee, get the numbers going, then present it here in the Congress and get a vote up on it and get it through.
Tell us about the name, sir. I understand it was named for
Milo.
Local World War II hero.
Yeah, Milo Hempner. You know, Wisconsin has a number of war heroes, but nobody like Milo Hempner. Milo served in the 551st Battalion, and what he did was exemplary. He actually captured 18 Nazis in the town of Lyon in Belgium. He didn't get there by intention. He got there because his truck broke down, and he had to lay up, and the column went on. And his instructions were that if the Panzer tanks came upon him, he was to blow up the truck and head for the hills, which he did. And he took cover in the city of Lyon and hid out there for a while. And he basically was a one-man army. He would go out and booby-trap their trucks and, when possible, take enemy soldiers into custody. And at one point, Christmas Eve, the people of the city wanted to go to church, and he stood outside the church, armed only with a pistol, guaranteed that they could have their mass service. So he really was a hero. And when he came back home to Green Bay, you know, he went to over 900 military funerals in his dress uniform. He wore his uniform out, and they took up a collection to get him a repaired uniform back in order. So Milo and his four children attended with me the renaming of the VA Medical Center in Green Bay, Milo C. Hempner Veterans Clinic, and we are so proud that his name is now on a place of healing. This VA clinic, you know, it's like every other VA clinic. It's bulged to the brim, and hardly anybody else can get in there. There's a wait list to get in there now until we get the new facility built and at the end of 2010. But by golly, it's got a hero's name on it. We're very proud that the Congress voted in favor unanimously of renaming our facility, Milo C. Hempner Medical Facility.
That's just wonderful, sir. If anyone wants to know more about you or your accomplishments or the 8th District, they can get you at kagan.house.gov, right?
That's right. It's kagen.house.gov, and there you can take a look at some of my floor speeches and my positions on the issues. And, you know, from a soldier's point of view, I think I've got the right viewpoint, and that is that right now the biggest problem we're facing worldwide is that the United States of America is having to compete against governments overseas like Communist China and other Asian countries where their government is their business. Now, if you're in business, you know, it's hard to compete against the government. But that's what our paper and steel and textile and everybody else is doing. So I think what we have to do in this country is elect a president that can think things all the way through, that'll be on our side of the equation, help to push back against these Asian governments that are really businesses that are targeting everything we make for extinction. And I want to prevent war wherever possible. We have to remain strong on our homeland and make sure as well that we care for our soldiers before, during, and after they've been in harm's way. And I thank you so much for your time today, and I wish all of you well.
Thank you very much for your time, sir, and thank you for your service keeping that Congress in line for us. We've been speaking with Congressman Steve Kagan, MD, the Democratic congressman from Wisconsin's 8th District. You're listening to Purple Heart Radio, the voice of the veteran.